Unscripted Wrestling, most controversial wrestling podcast in the world. I'm the voice, the big baboo, an overweight gentleman named Daniel Hummer. I'm here with the sound man, Eric, one of the best producers slash sound man in the business. How are you, Eric?
Thank you. What's up?
We're also with
Dougie. We're supposed to be joined by Doug, but he's busy right now. He'll be on in 2 minutes, probably.
This dude's caused nothing but problems for this fucking show.
Eric, I'm back.
Okay. So we don't need to talk about what he's. You can text me, whatever.
Don't worry about it.
So
it's nothing. It's nothing about work. Everything's good.
All right, guys. So we got the reviews here for Super Showdown and for Revolution AEW. So we got a lot going on. Doug, I'll let you get the plugs out of the way, and you got a couple announcements.
Yes, I do.
Well,
since I am the self-appointed president of the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, I'll handle the big announcements. That's why I said self-appointed.
You guessed.
So, all right.
Go
first
ahead,
of all, listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Anthony Boxman and Smark, every Wednesday and Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Of course, you make sure that you finish listening to us first on Fridays before you listen to them. Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all podcast platforms. They're good people. They also have a show every other Saturday called the Hollywood Hangout. Same thing, platform, mixler.com/dirtsheetdudes. Okay. Also, you listen to us obviously on Fridays, usually 9 o'clock. And also, if we ever go through a Sunday that's not snake bit, we will be on Sundays for the Wednesday Night Wars. This Sunday, provided nobody dies, we will be on for the Elimination Chamber. We will be on for the Elimination Chamber preview.
Remember what I told you yesterday. We shouldn't announce it.
You told me to announce it yesterday.
No, I said it's better off that we don't even plan it and we just go by ear.
Then how are people
going to...
What have you got to do? Doug, you got some announcements.
Okay.
Oh,
first of all, Eric, never mind. I'm not even going to say what I was going to say because it would just be inappropriate. So I'm going to just stop right there. I have some announcements.
I got a plug to plug. Go follow the Comedy Bar Group on Facebook. It's a group ran by me and another gentleman. Funniest memes, stand-up comics. Go follow that group. Go follow the Unscripted Wrestling group on Facebook, and definitely join the Old School Wrestling group on Facebook. That's ran by the self-appointed president. Done.
All right.
You can go ahead with the announcements.
All right, we got some big announcements here regarding our fantasy wrestling group. First of all, the big announcement is, the winner of the month of February. We were going to announce this last Sunday, but unfortunately, things happen. Life happens, folks. All right, the winner of the month of February, therefore getting two trades, so he could take whoever he wants from whoever he wants, is Young Daniel.
Congratulations,
Daniel.
He
is allowed two trades. Announcement number two will be because he had won another prize because he had won is he gets to pick our poll for next week. He gets to pick all four options. Any options he chooses, he can have.
Oh, wow.
That will be our poll.
Shit. Okay, cool.
Okay. Announcement number three. All right, and this is the big one. Elimination Chamber this Sunday, I have just deemed, because they are important Elimination Chamber matchups, the winner, or if the winner of the Chamber match is being represented by any one of us, that person will have 50 points because it is a big-time special matchup.
Awesome.
Okay. So in the Tag Team Elimination Chamber match, where it's Miz and Morrison versus New Day versus the Usos versus the Heavy Machinery versus versus Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode versus Lucha House Party. Miz and Morrison win, Daniel gets 50 points. If Big E wins, well, no, because it's a tag team, it'll be 50 points apiece.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Because it's a tag team matchup. So it'll be a straight 100. And because it's a title match, I'll still deduct the 15 for each participant for a loss.
Wow.
So if you win, you get 100. If you lose, you lose 30. All right.
Wow.
So if Miz and Morrison win, Daniel gets the points. If Big E wins, Brett's only going to get 50 because he doesn't have Kofi. He picked Xavier Woods because he's a moron. If the Usos win, Eric, you get the 100.
Nice.
All right. If Heavy Machinery wins, I get the 100.
Oh, Doug.
Now, if Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode win, nobody gives a fuck because I think they're just on somebody's bench.
Probably.
And if if Lucha House Party wins, nobody gives a shit because they're not on any. They're not, you know, in this whatsoever. Okay. And in the Women's Elimination Chamber match, only Daniel and I have people in the match.
Oh, shit.
So,
wait. Kairi Sane's in the match?
Or no, not Daniel and I. Brett and I.
Who is Brett? Serena Vega's in the match?
Yeah, Shayna Baszler's in the match and Asuka's in the match.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, Shayna. Well, obviously we know who's going to win.
So,
well, before we do anything, let's just say that me and Brett have women in the match. Because I am taking Oscar from you. And you will be getting Kairi Sane.
All right. Now, since this is not a title match, it's just 50 points. And then, if your girl loses, you're only going to lose 2.
Okay.
Because no titles are on the line.
Fair enough.
All right, but you're taking Asuka, and you're giving me Kairi.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the first official trade.
That's the first official trade. My second official trade. Have you ever heard of Superbad Kip Sabian, Doug?
Am I a fan of him?
Yeah, you like him?
Yeah, I do. I picked him because there was nobody else good to put on my bench.
Oh, so it would suck if he just became your starter, right? That would be awful. Because it looks like I'm taking Darby Allin from Doug, and he's going to get Riho, who is on my bench.
So, You're taking Darby Allin from me.
So both of my picks are going to be taken from Doug.
Wow. I thought for sure you guys.
Eric, you're
Cody.
Safe. I thought he was going to fuck you.
Oh,
I've
been thinking about this
for
a week, boys.
Huh?
I told Doug all week I thought he was going to take Cody. For the last 2 weeks, I said, you're going to take Cody.
Wait, Doug, did you write that down already?
You know, you're in the house and I'm in the car, right?
Yeah.
You
so
have
I'm
the
sure
book.
You my pick.
Huh?
Eric, you know what they say about shooting yourself in the foot?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Dougie. You're keeping Darby Allin. I'm using my pick to take Cody Rhodes from Eric's AEW roster, and he will be getting Riho in return.
Wow.
You shot yourself in the foot, my friend.
Was that planned?
No, it wasn't, but you got cocky, so I... I just felt bad for singling out Doug because I didn't mean for that to be the way it went. And you're my biggest competition because Doug sucks right now, so I got to take something from you.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Doug earlier. I was telling him the other day, I said, wouldn't Daniel want to take something from me because I'm his biggest competition right now?
Yeah, but Doug also happens to be the biggest pain in my ass. So when it comes time to spite him, I try my best. But, all right, so those are my two trades. Do you want to hear the poll options now, or do you want to get into this first?
We'll get into it.
Why don't
first.
We get it out of... Huh?
Well, I'm only staying
until
10.
Are we going
to He's only staying until 10 o'clock, so let's get the options out of the way.
Okay.
Go ahead.
First option... Career retrospective on the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. He's
okay.
been on the pole a couple of times. Nothing's ever happened. Second poll option is going to be a ranking of all the Elimination Chambers.
Okay.
Third
okay.
option is going to be the evolution of hardcore wrestling. Our thoughts on it, how it's changed over the years, if it's gotten better or worse. Basically, a retrospective on hardcore wrestling.
I think that's going to win.
And?
A conversation about territories. It's going to be a territory retrospective. We'll be talking about all the good ones, Mid-Atlantic. Bill Watts.
Wow.
These territories will be getting their own shows someday, but I'd like to do a conversation completely about the territories, how it affected professional wrestling, and I just think it'd be a really good conversation. So those are my four options.
Eric, do you got that? Because you're going to put it on the Twitter poll.
If I have to, I'll go back and listen to it again, or one of you can text me.
Yeah, so the four options are AJ Styles career retrospective, a hardcore wrestling retrospective, a ranking of all the Elimination Chambers, or a conversation about the territories.
Okay. So three retrospectives and one ranking. Okay.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Cool. That'll be on next week. I will put it in the old school wrestling group tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
And now that I've enjoyed the fruits
you,
of my labor...
I'll do it in other groups.
Okay, cool.
All right, guys, you want to get into it? Our reviews for Super Showdown and Revolution?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured, or at least while I'm on, you want to go match for match? Like, we'll do a match of each and just keep bouncing back? Or do you want to do one whole show and then the other whole show?
You guys can go back and forth with Showdown. I'll listen because I didn't really watch it, but I can chime in with my Goldberg main event one.
Okay. Well, we'll start with the pre-show. So we got the pre-show on the Super Showdown, which was the OC versus the Viking Raiders. Doug, overall thoughts on this match, or was it a good start to the show?
It was a good match, but the thing is that they're killing the Viking Raiders. They're killing the Viking Raiders in favor of AJ Styles' two bald-headed bitches.
Yeah.
So, fuck that match.
Fuck that?
Yeah. No, it was... I mean, it was, like I said, good match, but bad ending, because the only thing those two bald-headed goofs are good for is one sucks AJ's left nut, the other one sucks AJ's right nut.
Wow.
I mean, they are a very reputable tag team, though. Very good in Japan.
Well, let them go back to Japan. Maybe they can get themselves a coronavirus.
That's China, but I guess it's the thought that counts.
So,
on the AJ side, they did have a dark match, so we're not going to review that, but we'll talk about it briefly. Dr. Britt Baker and Penelope Ford, who were once bitter rivals, and they actually know that was Bea Beasley, my fault. But Britt Baker and Penelope Ford, and they beat Riho and Yuka Sakazaki.
So that was actually on AEW Dark this past week. So Eric did get points for it.
Did you see it? Well, do you have anything to comment on it, or because I didn't see it?
I really didn't see it, but I do like what they're doing with Britt Baker, making her into this big bitch. The only thing is that if they show her in bed with Shivani, I'm done.
And can I talk about something real quick? Because it's bothered me for a few weeks now. And okay. It's not really about these individual shows. And I wanted to bring it up on the Wednesday Night War show, but obviously, you know.
Is it bothering you that I'm still part of this show? Is that what it is?
No, I want you on the show.
Yeah, we won't.
I mean,
he's
the ass. Doug is the hemorrhoid on the ass of unscripted wrestling.
Hey, I am the self-appointed president.
Since
you're
when?
The president. He came up with that earlier, and I called him an idiot. But, so what I wanted to get into, I don't agree with Nyla Rose winning the title. And I know Doug doesn't. I really don't know Eric's thoughts on it. Here's the reason I don't agree with it, though. It's not that Nyla Rose, and it's not because she's a transvestite. And I know everyone's saying this. I don't think that she shouldn't have the title because she's a transvestite or whatever, because she used to have a dick. I don't care about that. You know, she's in the women's division, and I think she can do meaningful stuff in the women's division, and I think eventually she would be a good champion. I have really bought in, like you said, to Britt Baker's heel. I think she is one of the better heels on the roster, especially for the females. I think the Nightmare Family did not click whatsoever, Awesome Kong and Brandy. No one really cared about that. Britt Baker is actually doing some meaningful stuff as a villain. So, to me, what makes the most sense is having her take the title away from Riho, right? At Revolution.
Right.
You know, that seemed like a big title change. It's something nice that could, you know, and she's the villain that has the title. Nyla Rose has already lost so many matches for the title. Doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, I don't really know your guys' total opinion on this, but I don't understand it because Riho was such a big face, and you're building up this heel
So now why are we building Britt Baker up anymore? Why is she built up as a heel if you're going to have a heel world champion? They obviously can't work together. Not yep. as a heel and heel. It wouldn't work. So and then you put Tyler Rose and Chris Statlander, which I like Chris Statlander. Doug's in love with Chris Statlander. I think she can work. You know, I think she's okay. That was a cold match. And people knew it was a cold match. And it had little to no build up. I mean, a couple little things on Dynamite. But not very much build up. And it didn't mean much, at least to me. So the fact that they went with that scenario for the women's division, which the women's division has taken a lot of heat from AEW. That's what really people criticize, and I usually don't agree with it. I think they got a lot of talented young ladies.
I agree
of that being a misstep. I think that's a misstep because I think it's a great moment to capitalize on Britt Baker and give Riho the title a little longer. It means more. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I agree with all your points.
Okay.
So, I mean, I do agree with you. I do think it should have been Britt Baker, but I get it. They want to have a monster champion. To be honest with you, the match, and I'll just say this right now, even though we haven't reviewed it yet, but Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander Revolution was really not that good. Statlander
yeah.
had the lead the entire match, and she still is a newcomer.
Yes, yep. she is. And people forget that, too.
And I love her to death, and I think she's great.
Yeah. And it's not like she's incredibly green, either. She's not incredibly green, or at least it doesn't look like that in the ring. She can work. And I agree
yeah.
with that. And I do, and despite what people say, I think Nyla can work. And I think Nyla can put on that a good match. And I think if you give that match a proper build up, like every other match, because we've had a lot of time, full gear to now. So every match on this card, except for a few like Pac and Orange Cassidy or whatever, which turned out to be entertaining anyway, but a lot of these matches have 1 month, 2 month, 3 month build ups. So they mean so
exactly.
much. So to put out, and this is your women's division, this is something that you need to be strong because that's what's being criticized. The fact that that didn't go to a long-term build-up, which they've already teased with Britt Baker and Riho anyway. So the fact that that didn't happen, and instead we got Nyla Rose and Chris Statlander, it just didn't make much sense to me. Just my
right.
opinion.
I agree with that.
We can move on, but I definitely wanted to touch on that. So now we'll go back to Super Showdown. The first opening actual match is a gauntlet match for the Tequay Trophy. A cool-looking trophy. I don't know how to fucking pronounce it, but definitely a cool-looking trophy.
It's a mountain in Saudi Arabia.
Okay. So if you want to Google that, kids, go ahead. This match... Well, first of all, I'll say who's in it. But this match was surprisingly good. And you had R-Truth come out first with who he wrestled first? Did he wrestle Lashley first?
Yes.
And then Rowan. Or no, and then Andrade.
No, and Andrade, and then Rowan, and then AJ, and then it was supposed to be Rey Mysterio, but wasn't Rey Mysterio, and then it was Undertaker.
Yeah. Your thoughts on this match, Doug?
Wow.
All right. My thoughts on this match are this. R-Truth, they did a good job trying to build up R-Truth here. R-Truth, as much flack as he gets for sucking,
yeah.
he is a very entertaining guy, and he can go in the ring when he's told, hey, we need you to have a good match.
Yeah.
Okay. When he's told, hey, have a good match, he has a good match.
Yeah, he does.
The problem is he's usually just used for comedy.
Yeah, but his comedy, and sometimes it doesn't work. But with the 24/7 title and like this last year, I think it's been some of R-Truth's best work.
I'll tell you, you know what was a blessing in disguise for him?
What?
When they gave him Carmella.
Yeah, that was a nice duo.
Yeah, it was. They were good together.
Yeah, they were good together. I think you got to put him top 10 comedy acts of all time.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
There's some great ones. But R-Truth, like, the lasting ability of this man, and this match really, I was going to say the same thing you did, Doug. He looked really good. And it's not even that, like, I mean, they obviously built him up in this match, which is weird because they really don't give Truth much usually to work with. But he looked so good during this match, even though half of it was just him getting his ass kicked. But I found myself rooting for him. And that's the magic of it, you know? I really think that it's not like he's going to get a lot after this because he hasn't, and it's not like he's going to get a big WrestleMania match. But I think for a Saudi Arabia deal and for what he was supposed to do, I think he knocked it out of the park.
I agree. Anybody that does not want to punch this fucker in the face, I mean, obviously can tolerate him better than I can. But the way he came in and he eliminated Truth after Truth had gotten his ass kicked so much, and then the fact that he had his bald-headed lovers beat the hell out of Rey Mysterio just so he could have an easy night. And to be honest with you, that is being a great chicken shit heel.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I wonder how Wendy feels about having to share the bed with Gallows and Anderson every night. But, you know, that's probably another story.
The thing is, and Eric, tell me if you agree with this. AJ Styles in TNA, I really enjoyed him way more as a babyface than as a heel.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was that good of a heel. Now, like WWE AJ Styles, I think his heel work is way better than his babyface work. I find him kind of boring as a babyface. As a heel, I think he's really good at it. Like underratedly good.
I think he's a better heel in WWE and better face in TNA. That's what makes him so great. Because in one company he was a good face, and in another he's a good heel. And he was the face of TNA for like 5 years.
Oh, he was. That's no dispute, but it really... And by the way, congratulations to AJ Styles, because he just won Wrestler of the Decade or something like that. So good for him. But he's got to be top 5 heels in the company right now. I mean, Miz to me is the top heel. Even if he's doing this tag team shit, and I know he just came off a babyface run, but that dude's so good at being a heel. I put AJ maybe right below him. As far as being able to get heat and being a good chicken shit heel, and for someone who's like the best wrestler in the world, I really do believe him as a little bitch when he's in there sometimes.
Right.
And I think that's awesome that he's able to do that.
Yeah,
right. And
I agree with that.
And here's the thing is that, like, also too, like, if you really know what's going on, AJ's coming off a shoulder injury. Okay.
Yeah.
He may not have been cleared to compete in this gauntlet deal or been cleared for like a long match. That's why they had AJ or that's why they had, you know, that's why they had Gallows and Anderson, you know, beat up Rey Mysterio in the back. So AJ, and that's why they did the thing on Monday night where Aleister Black had to run the gauntlet against Gallows and Anderson to get to AJ Styles, because AJ technically is not ready to wrestle a 15 to 20 minute match again, even though he's got to do it on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Okay? But that's why the match is no disqualification. So he can have his girlfriends beat up, you know, Aleister Black so he could get a cheap pinfall.
Wait, is Sunday the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, Aleister Black versus AJ Styles this Sunday in a no disqualification match.
At Elimination Chamber, that's this Sunday.
Correct, yes.
Holy shit.
Okay, but it's probably going to be Gallows and Anderson beating up Aleister Black the whole time so AJ can just cover him, get his win, and then they get back to the hotel room for a quick fuck before they have to head to wherever Rise.
Oh, my God. Eric,
wrong
what do you think about Eric?
Yeah.
What do you think about the potential match of AJ Styles and Undertaker at WrestleMania? Does that intrigue you, or you think it's a little too past its prime?
It kind of intrigues me, but I think it is kind of past its prime. It's like when CM Punk versus Undertaker. So it's like in that territory. But Undertaker was what, like 5 years younger? When did that happen? 5 years ago? 6 years ago?
Seven.
7 years ago. So, I mean, 7 years later, I mean, I watch it, and I think if it's the right build, I think it can be a good story. It can be a good story. But we'll see. We'll see with the story how they build the story.
I mean, I agree. So let's take it over back to AEW. We're still on the pre-show here. We haven't opened up yet. We got the Dark Order, Doug's favorite tag team, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, and they ended up beating SCU, Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. Doug, what were your thoughts on this match? And I know how you feel about the Dark Order.
Okay. I get what they're doing. And they're trying to build up the Dark Order because they're stupid. All right? They think the Dark Order is over. The only thing the Dark Order should be over is a cliff. And to be honest with you, I would actually throw the skinny guys on, over the cliff first, and then throw Fat Ass over, just so he squishes them, and we know they're not going to come back. All right, because if we throw him over first, and then them over, they might actually bounce off his tummy and survive.
Wow.
So anyway, I get what they're doing. All right, SCU, had to put these guys over because they need to make Dark Order look like a legitimate threat. All right.
Yep.
But let me tell you something. The coronavirus is more of a legitimate threat than Dark Order is. All right. The only thing that Dark Order could beat people with is the coronavirus.
I have a question for you, Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Who do you think is the leader of the Dark Order?
Well, the thing is I know Doug's read this. You know Marty Scurll, right?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the Exalted One. From what I've heard from various reports, before he signed with, or before he's really, because he was going to leave Ring of Honor and go to AEW, but now he's got the book there and he's doing the NWA deal. So it didn't end up happening. He was, from what I've heard, I don't know if that's a fact, but he was supposed to be the Exalted One. So who is the Exalted One? It's a hard one. I feel like it's got to be somebody big, but not too big.
Yeah. There's three names that come to mind right now.
Who do you think?
Kind of free agents.
Okay.
Me? Doug?
No, don't leave us in a cliffhanger. Say who you think it is.
I think
say
it's
the three names.
Matt Hardy.
Jesus Christ.
Randy Jones. I thought he was talking Matt Hardy, Lance Archer, or who's the other one of Luke Harper.
Well, honestly, out of those three, I can see Matt Hardy doing that, because I think either Lance Archer or Brody, which is Harper, I think that one of those two is going to be Jake the Snake's special guy that he's bringing in to fuck Cody up. But we'll talk more about that on the Wednesday Night Wars episode. But I think one of those two is going to fill that role. I don't know if they're going to be the exalted one. I could definitely see Matt Hardy fitting in that role.
Oh, and Sam McCallahan. That's who I was thinking of, too.
I hope that piece of shit doesn't end up there. That's the only thing I agree with Jim Cornette.
He makes more sense, I think, than Matt Hardy does, because he hasn't been seen in Impact since he dropped the title to Tessa. Okay? And I think I don't think he works for Impact anymore.
Well, Matt Hardy's a free agent.
Yeah, but they're teasing him way too much.
Yeah. They kind of are.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah, so this match was what it was. I don't think it was great. I don't think it was terrible. I like SCU.
It was a pre-show match, basically.
It was a pre-show match.
Yeah.
Now, getting into Super Showdown again, and the thing about this is I did not hate this show. I did think it was a little underwhelming and some stupid decisions were made, but I didn't hate this show. I thought the beginning was way better. The first three matches, maybe even four, because Garza and Carrillo, even though it was kind of short, that was good too. But this match, we have The Miz and Morrison, who are my tag team in fantasy wrestling and a tag team that I really really loved growing up as a kid. They beat The New Day for the tag titles. This is the best match of the card.
I agree.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think John Morrison has been vastly underused since he got back. So I think this was a great way to kind of put him and Miz in the conversation. And him and Miz are best friends in real life. So their chemistry is off the charts.
They've never feuded before, right?
No,
they
feuded before.
Well then. I feel like that's gonna come soon. But not soon enough. Not soon, but not, I mean, not too soon.
Yeah,
I think eventually
I think
Morrison's gonna turn babyface.
I think if they're smart, you keep them as a team, though. Because they can really prove their legacy as one of the better tag teams. Because they were on their way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they spun them up too early the first time. Because they were one of the better tag teams in WWE at that point. And they were kind of starting a legacy.
I think they were actually the face of the tag team division for as long as they were together.
For a while, yeah. They were.
Yeah, that was.
And you know, yeah. And they came out with that DVD, Best Tag Teams or whatever WWE did, and they hosted it. So obviously, and they're not going to be on anyone's top 10 tag teams of all time, and that's fine. But I do think that they are a very solid tag team, and I do think they have a little bit of a legacy to where they at least deserve top 20.
I agree with that.
Just my opinion. And Miz is at a point right now where I think a tag team's good for him. I think I like where they're at. I think it's stupid they lost clean the next night on SmackDown. But we're not talking about that. So Doug,
well, you got to remember too. I mean, there's probably a lot of jet lag. Okay. Because, well, they traveled from Saudi Arabia. They were probably tired. And they were probably just like, okay, let's just lose on SmackDown just so they could go home.
You know wrestling's scripted, right?
Yeah, I know. But, like, what I'm saying is that, like, you know, they probably said just – and also because the Usos have a lot of momentum, too. The Usos haven't lost a match since they've been back.
Well, that's going to be a WrestleMania match, right? Or is that happening at Chamber?
Both teams are in the Chamber.
Oh, and that's for the titles?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. So they're going to lose it, right?
Okay. Not if the Usos don't get pinned. Oh, no. They would have to get pinned to lose. So.
How the hell do you expect them to get eliminated from the Chamber? They lose a game of Go Fish?
I forgot it was the Elimination Chamber.
What do you expect? How do you expect this match to go, Eric? Everybody gets in there and they draw a card off the top of the deck and the low card gets eliminated every round?
Thanks, Doug. I forgot. I wasn't thinking.
Doug, can we go one episode without bullying? For fuck's sake.
I have called nobody a no good piece. Well, I've called nobody that's hosting this show with me tonight a no good piece of shit.
I guess because he didn't see me at work today, so he had to get his jab in, right, Doug?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's a fucking asshole. All right, so start off the Revolution show, which we're on the main show now, finally. We got Doug's favorite wrestler of all time.
Testicular cancer.
Dustin Rhodes. And he ends up facing...
Oh, you fucker!
Jake Hager. Doug, for a big man match, Eric, because you actually watched this show, I'm gonna have you put some comments into it, too. But... What do you guys think?
What?
I thought it was a good match.
What do you think about the match, though? We're reviewing the matches. That's why we're here, you fuck.
Well, I think you cut out for a minute. Either that or you just didn't talk.
No, I'm saying, what did you think of the match?
I thought it was a solid match.
I mean, it was
match.
A good match, but I didn't give a shit. This is really a match, like, I like Dustin Rhodes, but Jake Hager is garbage to me. So I didn't give a fuck about this match.
Yeah, but he put on a good match, so he's not garbage.
Well, yeah, he did. Yeah, he put on a good match. It was his first match, you know, in AEW, instead of just standing there and, you know, groping Jericho's prostate. He actually
he was
did something.
Somebody, his wife, for the match.
Yeah, and then Dustin Rhodes bit her on the side of the face.
That was one of the two little things that really made this match for me. The other one was Dustin's T-shirt when it's like I'm here to fight Jericho's bitch, and then when Hager saw it, he's like, you motherfucker. I thought that was great. Eric, you were saying something.
I thought this was a solid opener, good opener. The right guy went over because Hager can't lose his first match, as Doug alluded to last week when we went over the matches. So yeah, I thought it was a good match, and I think Hager's going to be a big time star just more time.
Oh, if he's he becomes AEW's top star, this company's going under.
I'm not saying he's going to be a top star. I'm going to say he'll win the mid-card title if they ever had a mid-card title. Whatever they call it.
I personally am a huge fan of Jack Swagger. I've always have been. I've always thought he had tremendous upside.
I'm
hey,
glad he blows.
Me and Daniel both like Jack Swagger or Jack Hager.
You two are bigger idiots than me.
Doug, your favorite women's wrestler is someone that boops people and dresses like an alien.
What's your point?
I hate you.
At least she's a woman, unlike the fucking champion of the division. There you go. Here's what Jake Hager's purpose could be. He can get his balls removed, and then he can work a loop with Nyla Rose.
Oh, boy.
Well, it was a good episode, guys. No. But I do – here's the thing. I do want to say that I slightly agree with Doug, but all of his logic sucks, so I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that I agree that Jake Hager has no business being a top star. But I think he's good in that bodyguard role for Jericho. I think he does add something. Even though he doesn't talk, even though he just sits there and looks tough, I think he really adds something to the Inner Circle and to Jericho. So I like him in that role. I think he's a good muscle.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they ever did have a mid-card champion. He would be like the mid-card champion for a couple months.
Will you shut your mouth? Because somebody's going to hear this, and then they're actually going to go through with it. And then we got to put up with that fucker as a champion. Quit giving him ideas.
Sorry, Doug.
I mean, as far as a mid-card title, there's a bunch of young talent that could take it. So,
yeah.
And we'll definitely get into that in the next couple matches. Going back to Showdown, we got Angel Garza versus Humberto Carrillo. I thought this match was solid. It had a build-up. It had a decent build-up since Andrade hasn't really been able to do anything. I think Garza's really good in the ring. He wrestles a lot like his dad did, but a little bit more of an athletic style, even though his dad could jump around too. But I think Garza's really good. And Humberto Carrillo.
You're going to hate me. You're going to hate me.
Why?
Because that wasn't his dad. That was his uncle.
Yeah. I thought about that after I said it. The dude that beat Scott Hall in WCW.
Yeah, Hector. That was his uncle.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, whatever the fuck. I thought this was a good match. Doug, your opinions?
I thought it was a really good match. I mean, I don't think Humberto Carrillo can catch a break but I do agree with them kind of building up Angel Garza as a big star because he can talk. You can't understand him, but he can talk.
Yep.
He's got a very cocky attitude. He's a great heel. He thinks he's God's gift to women. he likes to take off his pants. So him and I have something in common. And he's just, he is excellent in the ring. So he definitely has a future.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I think Humberto needs to catch a break at some point. But I do think I was very impressed with this match. I did like this match a lot.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I agree with you, and I think Carrillo's a hell of a talent, and I think someday he's going to be huge. Well, maybe not huge, but I think he can do big things given the chance. So, let's go back to AEW, and we got a match. The thing about this match is that it's got two rising stars, two guys that actually could be faces of the company someday. I know Doug's not a big Sammy G fan, but Sammy Guevara, who's a great in-ring talent, he took an L to Darby Allin, who is this – he's a young Jeff Hardy. He's got so much talent, so good. He's so different. There's not enough good things we can say about Darby. What was your thoughts on this match, Eric?
I liked it. I thought Darby Allin's obviously over. He's probably one of the most over guys in the company besides the two obvious ones. And if Matt Hardy did go to AEW, I would like to see Matt Hardy versus Darby Allin. I think that would be a good match.
It'd be interesting. I could actually agree with that. Doug, you're a big Darby Allin fan. Your thoughts?
I thought the right guy won here. I mean, I think the feud's going to continue, obviously, from what we saw on Wednesday night. But Sammy Guevara is very good in the ring, and he's very – again, he's one of those guys, he's very hateable.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, I'm not a Sammy Guevara fan, but I'm not a Sammy Guevara fan because he's supposed to be, he's a heel. He's part of Jericho's heel group. And Jericho's got a great heel group because each one of those guys should have, probably been shot on the sheets, on the streets of Chicago over the weekend because they're such pieces of shit. But they do their job. All right. Jericho knows how to get heat. All right. Jake Hager knows how to get heat, from me because I can't fucking stand him. Santana and Ortiz know how to get heat because they keep going around robbing convenience stores. And Sammy Guevara knows how to get heat because he's got a douchebag haircut.
And a douchebag face.
Oh, my God. But, no, this match was awesome. The right guy won. Because Darby needed a big pay-per-view win.
Yeah, he did. I think both guys needed a win here, but I'm not mad at Darby winning. I think it probably was the right move. My favorite thing about Sammy is I think him and Chris Jericho, even though Jericho has nothing to do with this match, but don't they have great fucking chemistry?
Yeah.
The way they hug, you would think that they want to stick their tongues down each other's throats.
Yeah, like they're bad guys, but they're so funny together.
Jericho's old enough to be his dad.
See, that's a group that probably plays naked leapfrog with each other.
It's like a father and son tree. I mean, never mind.
Father and son.
Yeah, father son duo that fucks each other in the butt.
That wasn't my thought process, but thanks, Doug.
Yeah, all right. That was kind of a reach. But good for you. So,
let's not be on. Give it to me.
Jesus Christ. We're going to get canceled. So we got Seth Rollins and Murphy on Super Showdown. They're the Raw Tag Team Champions, the Monday Night Messiah. They ended up beating your boys, Doug, the Street Profits. Your thoughts on this match?
It was another good match. Seth Rollins knows how to get heat because he thinks he's Jesus. This whole Monday Night Messiah thing, like, I get it. The cult leader deal and all that. I mean, he got his ass handed to him on Monday night. But I like what he's doing, telling everybody, you need to follow me. and it's getting more people that want to kick its ass.
Yeah, like into
me.
Yeah, and yet you have him on your fantasy team.
Definitely. Oh, are we going to drop? Are we going to? We can cut people too.
Yeah.
One person, right?
Yeah, one person. I want to. We'll announce our cuts on the Wednesday Night War episode.
So if it happens.
Just believe, Doug. Believe.
Believe.
Believe. There you go.
Well, provided nothing happens, I think we'll be good.
Yeah, that's true.
But for the most part, it's actually been out of our control.
Yeah. So we're going to go at 4 so Clarence can join.
Yeah, but you guys would have to start without me.
Okay.
Because I don't get out till 4.
Okay.
But I'll be on though as soon as I get out of work.
Cool. What's the next match? Are we still on AEW?
No, we were on the Seth Rollins and Murphy versus the Street Profit. Doug pretty much cleared all that up. So we can actually go back to AEW. But I'm actually going to head out, guys. So have fun on this next hour. Some closing comments from me. I really enjoyed the Moxley-Jericho match.
What?
Hello? I won, so that was awesome. And, so see you guys. I'll see you Sunday.
Oh, remind everybody what the poll options are going to be.
We got, for the poll this week, we got a career retrospective on AJ Styles. We got a ranking of all the Elimination Chamber matches. We got a hardcore wrestling retrospective and the evolution of hardcore wrestling. And then we could do a territory retrospective. So
okay.
A lot of big options there. All right, guys.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, guys. I'll sign it off. You too.
Adios. All right,
see you, bud.
See you, Dougie.
Doug, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Let me bring up the AEW card and
Well, I know what order the matches took place on AEW. I don't know what order they took place on Super Showdown, so you're going to have to help me.
Okay, I'll look that one up. Showdown.
But the next match on Revolution was the tag match with Hangman and Omega versus the Bucks.
Yeah, this was fantastic. This was the match of the night. This was probably the match of the year so far, in my opinion. This was just absolutely on the edge of your feet, edge of your seat competition every especially the last 10, 15 minutes. Every pinfall. Nail biter. Cause, I have Kenny Omega on my team, so I was on the edge of my seat because I needed Kenny to win to have a chance in the main event. So
right.
I was so invested in this match. Not only because Kenny was on my team, but I like all 4 guys. I'm a big fan of Kenny and Adam Page. And you know I'm a big fan of Young Bucks. As you say, Young Bucks.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. It really kind of became an issue of, or not necessarily an issue, but it really came down between, like, Hangman Page and Matt Jackson. Because Hangman Page really wants nothing to do with this group.
Yeah.
I mean, he even said it. He goes, I'm done with the Elite. I've been trying to leave you guys. You won't let me. So... He wants to be done with the Elite. And Matt Jackson is the biggest prick of the Young Bucks. I mean, he's an asshole. All right, so it's really, like, I think it's more of a personal issue between the two of them.
Probably is. But, I mean, we'll get into this on Sunday, but Adam did kind of help them on Dynamite on this past Wednesday.
I think he helped Cody and Dustin Rhodes more. I don't think he gives a fuck. Because remember, he flipped Matt Jackson off.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So I think it was more he was helping out Dustin and Cody.
I think he's closer with those two than anything. More than
right.
The Bucks. And I think that was... Yeah, I think he is closer with those two. But well, we can get into that on Wednesday, too. I mean, on Sunday, too.
Right.
What were your thoughts on the match?
I thought it was a great match. It was a great, you know, exhibition of tag team wrestling.
Yep. Exactly. It was probably one of the best tag team matches I've seen in a long time.
Right.
Even though Adam and Kenny have only been a team for, 3 months? 2-3 months, their chemistry together is I think through the roof. I mean, they're friends, but I think not being a tag team before, I think their chemistry is really, really good.
Right.
You would think they've been a tag team for 10 years. But what was the next match? Next match on Super Showdown was Ziggler versus what's his name?
Mansoor.
What were your thoughts on this match?
You know, the hometown boy Mansoor got another win. I mean, he's basically just around for these Saudi Arabia shows because he's the home country guy.
Yep,
and he's gonna. You know, he's going to keep getting these wins because that's what these, you know, the Saudi royal family wants. They want this guy to get over. And he's a great athlete.
Exactly.
All right, he's a great athlete. I'm not taking that away from him. I mean, he took on a piece of shit. But, you know, I'm not a Dolph Ziggler fan either.
I used to be a big Ziggler fan, but That went away 5 years ago.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, what he did a few weeks ago on that whole Valentine's Day date thing with when he interrupted Otis's Valentine's Day date with Mandy Rose, he hurt the feelings of a fat guy. I think he needs to get the shit beat out of him.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see it, but I heard about it, so yeah. I think that was a douchebag thing to do.
Yeah, and Dolph Ziggler's a douchebag.
Yeah, he is one of the biggest douchebags in wrestling.
Right.
And this is coming from biggest fan. He used to be one of his biggest fans. Anyway, with next match on the AEW card
was Nyla Rose and Chris Statlander.
We went over this a little earlier. I mean, my brief thing is it was an okay match for what it was. I would say Nyla Rose shouldn't be champion either. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't feel right. Not because she's...
Right.
It doesn't feel that... I feel like there should have been a bigger story to it. Instead of her yelling for all this stuff, but
right.
That's not here or
no,
there.
I
don't want to get into.
Right, I agree. I mean, we really don't need to get into it anymore. We got into it earlier.
Yep, and last week too, we did too.
Yeah,
but I think Stan Lander is a good athlete. I hope she wins one of these times. I think Stan Lander versus Britt Baker feud would be a nice feud. So, but overall, it was an okay match for what it was. Next match, it's another match that there's not much to say about it. It's Brock Lesnar, the WWE champion, versus Ricochet. Thoughts on this match, Doug, other than it ended in under 2 minutes?
It ended in under two. See, here's the thing. They want to make Brock Lesnar look, you know, unstoppable. And
yep.
They don't give a damn about Ricochet. If they did, he wouldn't have been jobbed out the way he was. Because then he lost on Monday night, too. So they don't give a damn.
I'll say this now. They are doing what they did to guys like Shinsuke, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan for a time, even CM Punk for a little time. They're gonna ruin this guy if they don't start pushing the guy. So
great, but they don't give a rat's
ass. Ricochet is, yeah, I know. Which is a shame because Ricochet can be a star. So
right.
And he is over. When the fans feel like he's not gonna get squashed. So I like Ricochet, but I just don't see him ever being a main eventer unless Vince gets his ass out of his own ass. If that makes sense. I don't know if that.
Well, here's the thing. Vince sees a lot of money in Brock Lesnar because, you know, Brock Lesnar, if he's not pushed to the top, you know, he gets very angry. Brock Lesnar is only there to be the top guy. He's not there to be second fiddle to anybody else.
Oh, I agree with that.
Okay.
I definitely agree with that.
I mean, that's just, unfortunately, that's the way it is.
Yeah. But well, what's the next match? Next match on AEW was it the main? No, it was
Cody and MJF.
It was Cody and MJF. I thought this was a another good match between Cody and this was a good match that told the story top to bottom. MJF the douchebag, Cody the babyface. Cody, one of the most over guys in wrestling. MJF probably top three heel in the business. Former friend. I don't know if they were best friends, but they're former friends. MJF felt like Cody was using him, so he turned on him at last pay-per-view in November at, what was it called? I forgot.
Full Gear.
When he threw in the towel in the main event, so. And then hit him in the ball, kicked him in the ball. So I love this story. This story was done very well from top to bottom from the beginning. So, am I echoing?
No.
Your thoughts. I can't hear you.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
You lost connection. You phased out a little bit.
Oh, okay. But can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. MJF should have won this match because they need to build up because as soon as... Because Jericho's going away for the whole Fozzy tour coming up. You know, especially after he finishes this feud with Moxley, he's going away. So Moxley needs a new challenger. You know, that's where MJF comes in.
Yeah.
So he needs to be the top heel. How do you be the top heel? You beat some of the most over guys in the company. And
true.
You do it by cheating. which is what he did.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, like the whole him biting the broken toe of Cody, that's how you get heat. I mean, and I'm sure it turns some people on. Me, not so much. It only turns me on when lesbians do it to each other in foot fetish videos, but that's another story.
Oh, my God.
We are unscripted, folks.
Yes, we are.
So, anyway, but, like, he did heel moves, which is what he's supposed
to
do.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's got this big, goofy-looking idiot, you know, by his side, who does happen to be very, very dangerous.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sure, you know, when he fucks MJF in the butt, I'm sure it hurts MJF.
And this is why I think MJF is one of the top three heels in wrestling today.
Why? Because Wardlow fucks him in the butt?
Because of the heel he gets. You know, it's how the heel he.
Exactly. And that's what he did. And that's what he did by beating Cody.
Now, let's get into, you talked about the next challenger for Moxley. I mean, we can get into this when we talk about the Moxley match, but do you think Puck deserves a title shot? Isn't he, like, only lost, like, two matches?
He's lost three matches.
I feel like they're building him up, too.
Well, they are, but, you know, now that they got this whole death triangle thing, they need to let that just kind of ride out for a little while and then put him in the main event picture.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Maybe that's where the mid-card title comes.
Right.
They win the tag team titles, he wins the mid-card title. And what do you think they'll... Do you think there'll be another company that brings in the trio championship?
I'd like to see them do it because they have enough trios. They have enough trios teams to have themselves a little tournament.
Yeah. Hey, if you're listening, Cody, or whoever is part of, or Young Bucks, get the trio championship.
I think the only person that would actually listen to this podcast would actually be Tony Schiavone, mainly because I'm just as perverted as he is.
Okay,
probably
a
little more.
I'll send it to Schiavone or his protege. What's his name? On his podcast. Shit.
Oh, Conrad. Aubrey? Oh, Conrad?
No, Conrad. Yeah. Someday we should get Conrad up to join the show. He does so many podcasts. He knows how to get us in line.
Well, here's the thing. He has, and by the way, I'm echoing a little bit.
Okay, hold on. There you go.
All right. I think that's better. Conrad, he has a show on like every day of the freaking week.
Yeah, Bischoff, Schiavone.
Arn.
Bruce. Oh, he does Arn too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to download that now too. Arn. Who else? Does he have his own?
And JR.
JR, okay. Wow. And the guy is busy. Does he even have a life besides doing wrestling?
Well, he is married. So, and he actually, he does have a business. He's in the insurance business.
Well then. I was mainly being sarcastic, but damn, I didn't know he had 5 podcasts.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He
is entertaining. Yeah, exactly. 5 podcasts with 5 legends. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and plus a full-time job.
Yeah, and a full-time wife.
Yeah.
Does he have kids?
He's got a daughter from a previous marriage.
Okay. Yeah, so good for him. If we ever got him on the show, wow. Ratings would skyrocket.
Right.
We would be famous. Anyway,
all right.
What's the next match, Doug?
For Super Showdown, it's Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin inside the cage.
Thoughts?
My thoughts are basically this. It was a perfect end to the feud. Roman Reigns got the win. Corbin got beat. Corey Graves probably gave him a sympathy blow job after the show was over.
But
so, I mean, it's a feud that, you know, should have ended a long time ago. It's finally ended. So, you know, let's move on.
Exactly. And the next match on AEW was Orange Cassidy versus Puck, which I found very, very entertaining. I thought it was going to be a 2-minute match, but it was actually a decent quality match. Orange Cassidy is over, as you said last week. You don't know how he's over, but he's over. And Puck got the submission win. I thought it was a solid match that went exactly how it should have gone. And Orange Cassidy is over.
He is over. And here's the thing. The whole, I'm glad Pac won, because let's be honest, best friends in Orange Cassidy. I don't like Chuck Taylor. I don't like Orange Cassidy, but I like Trent. But, you know, it was a good match. It was better than what it should have been.
Yeah. It surprised me.
And, yeah. And, you know, it is what it is. And Pac won. Good for him.
Exactly. The right guy won. I think the right guy won in every match. Or a woman.
Right.
Next match on the card for Showdown was Bayley versus Naomi for the WWE Women's SmackDown Championship. What do you think,
again, the right person won. They need to keep this momentum that they got with Bayley. Bayley has so much momentum right now because she's rolling through everybody.
Yeah. First
and
time
obviously,
in her career, main event career.
Obviously, I think they're going to build towards her and Sasha at WrestleMania.
Who do you think is the one that becomes a babyface?
To be honest with you, I would not turn Bayley back into a babyface because she has done such a good job of becoming this heel that
yep.
You cannot turn her babyface again.
No way. She's
okay.
Definitely more sexy too. I just didn't say that, but. But it's hard to turn Sasha babyface too, because of what the antics she went through last year. I mean, I guess we're over
and
that
well,
now.
Well, to be honest with you, it's hard for me to cheer for Sasha because it's hard for me to like Sasha and it's hard for me to like people that look like Sasha.
Oh, yeah, okay. I got you.
Don't make me go any further.
No, I know. That's why I said I got you.
Yeah, because if we go any further, I'm going to end up dreaming about her tonight.
Okay, let's move on. The next match on this showdown card was Goldberg versus The Fiend for the for the Universal Championship. I was saving the other one for last, so Goldberg versus The Fiend for the Universal Championship. Another squash match. Goldberg defeated The Fiend in under 5 minutes. My thoughts were there was no story built to this, and they just gave the championship to Goldberg. I understand why, because he is Goldberg, and he does make money. And they won Goldberg versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania instead of The Fiend and Reigns. I guess they want Fiend and Cena. So I guess at the end of the day, it didn't make sense. But it's not so much that Goldberg won, it's so much that there was no story to change the title. So.
All right, listen. I don't have an issue with Goldberg winning. Okay, because I like Goldberg. You still there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I like Goldberg. Do I think he should be champion at 53 years old? No. But I do agree with what they're doing. They want Reigns versus Goldberg at WrestleMania because they figure, because people are pissed off at Goldberg winning the title, they'll cheer for Reigns. But somebody actually said it perfectly last year. Or not last year, but somebody actually said it perfectly in a meme. Vince last year gave everybody what they wanted. He gave Kofi Kingston the WWE title, and he gave Seth Rollins the Universal title. And what did we do? We still bitched, because that's what we do. Oh, Seth Rollins got Sale. Oh, Kofi Kingston, he really hasn't had that defining victory yet. So, because wrestling fans still bitch, because that's what they do, Vince McMahon says, okay, if you fuckers are going to bitch, I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to put the title on a 53-year-old Goldberg. Because if you're going to bitch anyway, I might as well just fucking piss you off.
That's true.
Okay? It's because wrestling fans don't know how to shut the fuck up. So if they want to complain, Vince is going to give them something to complain about.
Very, very good point, though.
Why give these internet virgins what they want if they're going to bitch about it anyway? All right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would do the same thing. If I was running WWE and people were bitching week after week after week after week, okay, you guys want to keep bitching? I'm putting a fucking world title on. Who would I put the world title on to piss them off?
Corbin?
I would. Well, I hate Corbin too, but still. Because I'm one of those people that, you know, when I see something I don't like, I bitch about it too. All right, so I'm guilty of that. You're guilty of that. My brother is guilty of that. Clint is.
It's human nature.
Okay? We bitch about shit all the time. Sometimes it's justified. Other times it's just because people like to bitch. But when a guy who's, by the way, is 74 years old, probably can't hear half of what they're saying anyway, because he's so over the fucking hill. All right. He doesn't give a shit anymore. He's waiting. You know, he's got the XFL going on right now, so he really doesn't give a shit about the WWE. He's just sitting there waiting for Shane or Stephanie or Triple H to poison his food so he can die. So one of them can take over the company. So he doesn't give a fuck.
And then we'll bitch again. Wrestling fans are always in a bitch.
So he doesn't give a rat's ass. He doesn't give a rat's ass what you like. He doesn't give a rat's ass what you hate. He is basically just waiting to die.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay. So, as far as Goldberg winning the Universal title, I don't have a problem with it because I don't like The Fiend. Well, I mean, I don't have an issue with The Fiend character. I have an issue with the Bray Wyatt pedophile character. Okay?
Right.
That's my issue. So, I don't think the guy should have been champion in the first place, so I'll defend the Goldberg thing. I'll get roasted for it, but I'll defend it. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. I understand why they did it and your point of view. So, yeah, Vince, I didn't give a shit. He's 73 years old, you said? 78?
74.
yeah, so.
Because he's waiting. He's waiting to die. All right, he's probably figured he's done enough. He's got enough money. He's probably waiting for somebody to poison his food. You know, so he can just, you know, die peacefully in his sleep, and you know that be that.
Or maybe he's waiting to run for president.
All right. And the only thing that's probably keeping him alive right now is that probably Kevin Dunn and Bruce Pritchard are probably throwing away all the food people give him so they can keep him alive because they realize once he goes, they're out of a fucking job.
Yeah. True. Let's move on to the main event of the evening. Moxley versus Chris Jericho, the former Le Champion, taking on the new champion, Moxley. I thought this was a solid match, a good main event, good story, good build to this match. Just like the Cody Rhodes match, it was excellent. The right guy
but
won.
The right guy won here. The right guy won here. I was so happy for Moxley. I mean, obviously, I think he's leading a team in the Blood and Guts.
Yeah. And we
against,
can get into that,
you know,
on
against Inner Circle.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's going to be 5-on-5, or you think they're going to do WCW used to do 4-on-4 or 5-on-5?
There was a couple of them that were 5-on-5.
I think it's going to be 5-on-5. I think it's probably going to be like Lethal Lockdown and all the other variations of War Games.
I think the greatest War Games match WCW ever did was back in 1992, and that was 5-on-5.
That was
The Dangerous Alliance versus the Dangerous Alliance versus Sting Squadron.
Oh, wow. Yeah, maybe we'll put down a poll.
I think that was the greatest War Games match they ever did.
Maybe as we get closer to that, maybe we'll do some War Games retrospectives. We'll put that on the list. So overall thoughts on both shows?
I think Revolution was better.
I mean, I think, yeah, Revolution was, I give it an 8.5 out of 10.
I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10 myself. Super Showdown, I'll give a 6 out of 10. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah. I mean, I have no rating because I didn't really watch it. I only saw, last 2 minutes of the Goldberg match. And
you and Daniel didn't watch it because you count on me to watch everything so I can write down the fucking points.
No, I totally forgot to watch it. When I was at work and then and that when it was on, and I just forgot. But yeah, overall, both shows were. I mean, Revolution was. I think it was probably AEW's. Would you say best show, best pay per view so far?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think every show they do is just better.
I think every show they do is gets better.
Yeah.
Now, do you count the first one they did when they were still in ROH?
No.
Okay. So you're one that doesn't count that either. Okay. So the first one was Double or Nothing, right?
No, the first one was All In.
Oh,
it was back
yeah,
in 2018.
Yeah. I thought this pay-per-view was great. Do you have any more? Let's see what we can talk. Any more thoughts?
I'll say this. Don't forget. I'm going to put poll up in the old school wrestling group tomorrow. Eric will put the poll up on Twitter tonight.
Yep.
As well as in other Facebook groups. The four poll options for next week, Daniel got to pick them. Your choices are a career retrospective on AJ Styles, a ranking of the best Elimination Chamber matches, a retrospective on the evolution of hardcore wrestling, or a look at the territories, a retrospective on the territories. All four would be great subjects. You're going to be busy all fucking week because you're going to have to watch the territories.
Oh, yeah, if that wins.
Yeah. So
I can watch
you're
going to
put that up as soon as we're done, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then I'll put it up in the old school. I'll put it up in the old school group tomorrow.
I mean, I'll put it in the Frank's group, Umbrella, and Pro Wrestling Discussion. I think whatever that one was. So I'll put it in those
okay.
three Facebook groups.
Real quick too, I wanna spend just a couple of minutes there. How long is this supposed to go?
2 hours. I just said All right. it for two. I always said it for 2 hours. So
I just wanted to spend just a couple of quick minutes talking about something that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and that's the Dark
okay.
Side of the Ring season 2.
Oh yeah, that's right. We talked about.
Yeah, and I think what we're gonna start doing, and I still kind of have to talk to Daniel about it, is I wanted like especially for a couple of the big episodes, well to me actually all these episodes are big because I'm a
yeah.
huge you know history buff and I think a lot of these are good subjects to talk about but you know I want to do like companion pieces even if we have to save them for like the Sunday show you know provided we ever
yeah,
do
that's
one.
Fine.
But Dark Side of the Ring season 2, for anybody that didn't watch Dark Side of the Ring season 1, it's a very good show because it really gives you a deep dive into the controversies of pro wrestling. And
yeah, it does.
There's a lot of controversies, okay? And it was a 6-episode season, the first season, and it got very good ratings. To be honest with you, I actually think they get higher ratings than what, you know, AEW and NXT get.
Oh, wow. Ugh. And the shows are on,
I mean,
when do they air?
The shows are going to air on Tuesday now. They used to air on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock, and now I think it's going to be Tuesdays at 10.
Yeah, which is smart because they don't want to go up against the two wrestling.
Right. So the subjects they're going to talk about and I'm just going to get into this real quick. The subjects for season two are the Benoit family tragedy, Owen Hart's tragic death, the death of Nancy Argentino, who was Superfly Jimmy Snuka's girlfriend, the New Jack mass transit accident,
wow,
the Brawl for All, which that's going to be an interesting episode, but the Brawl for All really isn't a controversy. It's more just this, a stupid idea.
Yeah.
I
enjoyed it when I was a kid. But.
Right. Well, I kind of did too. The life of Herb Abrams, who ran a wrestling promotion called the Universal Wrestling Federation. And they're going to talk about him and how he died and all that and all the controversy of the Universal Wrestling Federation. So that's going to be a good episode. Also, the history of the Road Warriors, you know, Hawk and Animal, the Legion of Doom.
Yep.
The murder of Dino Bravo.
Oh, wow.
And then I don't think I named off 10 subjects, but there might be something else. I can't remember. But basically, that's the gist of it. Okay.
And that's in
the. Huh?
When is that returning?
24th. So in about 2.5 weeks.
Sweet.
Okay. And so I want to do companion pieces on some of those episodes. Again, I think there were more topics that were revealed, but those are the only ones I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah. When we can talk about each one like every Sunday if we don't have anything to talk about, every Friday if we don't have anything to talk about or something.
Right. But yeah, no, next week's poll, these are four very good subjects that Daniel picked. I can't wait to see which one wins, because I'll be interested to do any one of them.
Do you have a prediction?
It depends on where the group, it depends on the group, to be honest.
Yeah, I think old school is going to vote for territories.
Yeah.
And then the other three Facebook groups, I don't know, because they're all over the place for that one. And I think Twitter's going to win. Twitter, go ahead. What were we going to say?
Twitter's probably going to vote for AJ.
I was going to say the hardcore.
Well, that too. I mean, to be honest with you, the evolution of hardcore and the territories are two that I'd be very interested in talking about.
Yeah. Same. I would like to do all four at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Both are close enough, we could do it 4 weeks in a row if you wanted to.
Right.
Not 4 weeks in a row,
but. We could. But, all right, I think that just about wraps it up.
Thank you, Doug, as always.
You're welcome.
I know you have to go to sleep because you have work tomorrow. No.
Yeah.
Get some beauty sleep.
I will.
And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Eric.
Later. Bye, everybody.
Later. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast.
Yep. Thank you.
I will see everybody next week.
Sunday. Yep. Later.
Oh, yeah, that too. All right, later.
Later, Doug.